So question, how far would you go for a friend? A ride to the airport? Half your sandwich? Donate a body part?
I need a kidney transplant.
I have two kidneys, right?
Yeah.
Why do I need two?
You don't?
Well, then guess who's getting a kidney? Life is
beautiful. Silicon Valley's Thomas Middleditch and Tony winner Annalie Ashford.
Kidney buddies for life.
Be positive. New Thursday, 8:30, 7:30 Central on CBS.
Studzinski for doing his work on the board. And now it's time for Lawrence Holmes to continue to get you ready for tonight's Bears game, one that I think, Lawrence, is effectively a playoff game.
It's a must-win Monday on the score.
That it is, right?
There's no doubt. Like, they have to win this game. Because now you start looking at, like, let's say you're super optimistic as a Bears fan. Now you have to start looking at the bottom of the NFC and realize that you've lost head-to-head matchups with the Saints and with the Rams. So you can still do this by winning your division, which means you need to start racking up division wins. You got five division games to play before the season is up. You better not lose tonight.
Not against a team you have been beating, a quarterback whose number you seem to have, and it's giving me what feels to me, just because I'm weird, irrational optimism. I actually feel pretty good about this game until I'm forced to feel otherwise, which I probably will. Most Bears games I go into defaulting to dread and then having the dread maybe lift by the end of the game if the score merits it. This one, we're conditioned to kind of feel good about a home night game against the Vikings.
You, sir, have read my notepad for today because I do want to talk with Bears fans about how they would describe their feelings about today's game. Like, day of, like, how would you... I wonder how many people are resigned. I wonder how many people are like you that are kind of strangely optimistic because this is a team that Matt Nagy has beaten to the ground and a quarterback that can't win on Monday Night Football. It's interesting. I was listening to you in charge. I think that the number is 22 for pass attempts. If he goes over, if you look at the numbers this year for Kirk Cousins, and you start looking at how they win and how they lose, 22 seems to be the mark where if he goes over that, that means they've done too much in their passing game and have allowed him to be too big of a part of the game plan. Look at the last two game logs for Kirk Cousins and the last two wins. I think it's, 20 passes and 14 passes. That's what they want. And in those games, he doesn't turn the ball over and has a passer rating of over 110. I think in the three games that they've won, they said, don't throw the ball more than 22 times and hand it to that guy because he's good. Or throw it to him.
Throw it deep, too. That's the other thing that Chart said, low volume, deep passing.
If you look at him on play action, everything starts and stops with what Dalvin Cook does. Because on play action, Kirk Cousins this year, 110 rating, 7 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. So if they can't get the run game going, the rest of their offense can't work because then you're relying on Kirk Cousins to bail you out, and he's not good at football most of the time. So that's going to be a struggle. But here's where I get worried, Dan. I get worried because Cook has 25 rushes of 10 yards or more this season. And what do the Bears do? They love to give up those big explosive run plays of 12 yards or more. That's where I'm concerned. That even though, in my estimation, Roquan Smith is playing at an all-pro level, they have got to straighten that out. As good as this defense is, and they're good, there are two things that I need for them to do to take them from good to great. One is to stop giving up big chunks of yards on the ground. And two, no more pass breakups. When there are passes that Kirk Cousins gives you, and he's going to give you a couple.
Yeah, pick it off and go.
Go.
Go score. Yep.
Like last week, like I keep going back to that game last week where that's a pick six if Kyle Fuller catches the ball. They can't. Their offense is so bad that the defense is in this position where they kind of have to score now.
The thing with Roquan Smith, too, is where he has made mistakes this year, it has been with a juke or a spin move in the hole where he's there. He gets there and then just can't break down to get his guy on the ground. And sometimes that comes with experience and polish. That comes with trusting your eyes and just making sure that you're putting yourself in the best position to not have that happen to you physically and mentally. But that all of that discipline has to be there. We know the athleticism, the speed, the instinct is there. It's a matter of making sure when you have those opportunities and it's just you and him, win it.
This type of back scares me more than what the Bears went up against last week. And I know
Agreed.
That it, a lot of people think, well, yeah, this is the leading rusher, and the Bears took on the leading rusher last week. Cook is more like Alvin Kamara than, you know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. he's more of that type of back where he's more dangerous than Derrick Henry. Derrick, you know where Derrick Henry's going to be. And I thought the Bears had a courageous defensive game plan. They were not going to allow that guy to beat him, and they brought their big boy pads and did work. Cook, to me, is a guy that you get him a little flip, like a little flip pass out to the flat. He makes a guy miss like you're talking about, and then he's gone. And that's the struggle. I mean, go back and watch that game against Green Bay. It was a nightmare. It was a nightmare. And that's where – your optimism, Dan, I think is well-founded because, look, on paper, you look at Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams and you look at what they've done this year and go, that's a dangerous team. But if you watch them against the Vikings and yesterday against the Jaguars,
Oof.
If the Bears win, it puts them back in the conversation to not just get into the playoffs, but to win this division. It's a must-win Monday.
Yep. Woo! It's a playoff Monday. We will let you have at it, Lawrence. I know you got a full show.
Dan, thank you very much. I'm looking forward to it. I will talk to you tomorrow, and that conversation tomorrow could be a whole lot of fun. This hour is being brought to you by Innovative Wellness. Visit InnovativeWell.com. Herbie, it's a must-win Monday. Let's go!
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on The Lawrence Holmes Show.
How big would this be if the Bears are able to pull off a win on Monday night for everyone in that building?
Yeah, I think that's where it is. For everyone in that building, you go into the off week and you've got that win under your belt. You've ended this losing streak. Everyone's feeling good for the next, week or so when you're kind of getting a mental and physical break. That's good. You lose, you're 5-5. You're sort of like, uh-oh, we're going into this off week. We are on a 4-game losing streak. We're not doing anything right. And oh, by the way, oh crap, we got the Packers coming up this weekend. That is a really dangerous mix. One that Matt Nagy last year did not encounter, because when they got through that 4-game losing streak, they had the gift of playing the Detroit Lions. You go on a 4-game losing streak and you're handed the Packers, that's going to be a 5-game losing streak. So this game for the Bears on Monday Night Lawrence, I really do believe it is the make or break game of the season. You win it, you're still going to have a chance when you get to, late December to make the playoffs. But if you lose it, everything is crumbling around you, and this season is not going to wind up with the Bears being a playoff team.
Make me a bicycle, clown!
That's right. It's must-win Monday here on The Score! Welcome in. My name is Lawrence Holmes, and I'm here with you until 2 o'clock. Man, do we have some guests for you. My buddy Matthew Collar, who works for himself now, which is great. The Purple Insider podcast, he's really terrific on Viking stuff. We're going to talk with him at 12:25. Joe Ostrowski, you know how I feel about Joseph. Joe is going to join us at 1. He's going to tell you the things that you should be looking to bet on in tonight's game and give you... Wait, what did I say? Did I screw that up? That's right. It's Big Ann at 1. That's right. And then Joe is on at 1:25 today. And we'll talk with him about the right bets that you're going to make. Because Ant's got stuff to do. The Big Ten is back. He's got all sorts of meetings and whatnot. So we will have Joe with us today at 1:25 and Big Ant on today at 1 o'clock. I am looking forward to your phone calls and your text messages on this must-win Monday. So I'm going to give you the phone number right now. 312-644-6767. Again, that's 312-644-6767. You can also text the show that way, all right? Here's what I want to hear from you. You heard Dan talking about being optimistic. I wanted to know what your, how would you describe it? How would you describe your feelings the day of the game today? Is it resigned? Is it optimistic? Pessimistic? Are you dreading tonight's game? Let me know. And while we're getting your phone calls, and again, it's 312-644-6767. There was news after we left the air. That news was that there's going to be a different play caller tonight. Bill Lazor is going to take over the play calling for your Chicago Bears. Matt Nagy gave it up. You could tell listening to Nagy that, and I don't mean this as a pejorative, that he's desperate. That this team is desperate for a win as we go into this Monday night battle. So this morning, I was sitting there thinking about, I was like, oh, because this happens. Herbie knows this about me. I start thinking back, like, hey, do we have anything that we can give to the people that will let them know a little bit more about whatever it is that's going on? And I thought back, and then I realized that our buddy Jim Ozarski was on the show back in January, like after the Bears hired Bill Lazor, he was on the show. Now, Ozarski covers the Packers, but before he covered the Packers, he covered the Bengals, where Bill Lazor coached. So I asked him for some intel on Bill Lazor, and I think you might be encouraged. After I went back and listened to the entire interview, I think you might be encouraged by what Ozarski had to say about what Bill Lazor can and has done as an OC and as a play caller.
I think he knows how to get running backs involved, dual threat running backs. His history dating back to, he started working in the league with Joe Gibbs, believe it or not, back in the early part of the century. But Chip Kelly, Shady McCoy down in Miami, Lamar Miller became Lamar Miller there, Joe Mixon in Cincinnati. He knows how to get the most out of that position, I think, run and pass. I don't know how this fits with Matt Nagy. To be honest, Lawrence, you would know this better, but it seems like slot receivers, for whatever reason, under Bill Lazor, know what to do as well. Jarvis Landry became a Pro Bowler in Miami. Tyler Boyd, really, really good slot guy for down guy in Cincinnati. And then finally, quarterback. Bill Lazor, the first time anyone heard of Nick Foles, Lawrence, was under Chip Kelly, went to a Pro Bowl, 27 touchdowns, 2 picks. His position coach was Bill Lazor. Ryan Tannehill, the reason that guy got a second deal in Miami, his two best years there, Bill Lazor, the offensive coordinator under Joe Philbin. So I do think he's going to be a help in that room as well.
In your piece that you wrote back in the day when you were working for the Cincinnati Inquirer, you got a quote about his adaptability. And as you can imagine, people in Chicago are going, man, that would be great if we saw a version of that for the Bears offense, considering it's one of the biggest criticisms against Matt Nagy was his lack of adaptability as games went on and as the season went on, with proof of what his quarterback could and could not do.
Yeah, I think that is Bill's strongest suit, in my opinion. His offensive background is so varied. I mean, I mentioned Joe Gibbs. He worked for Dan Reeves as well. So the old school football heads listening to you know what that means in terms of the offensive background. You're talking about the roots of some of these systems, right? The wide zone, outside zone in the run game. Now, Joe Philbin was pure West Coast. Chip Kelly, obviously, with the tempo and some of that stuff. So you're right. I don't know if he's worked in a scheme like Nagy's. I mean, the offensive coordinator in Philly was Pat Shurmur. So, I think he can mold himself to fit things. I think he's also a pretty hard coach, if that makes sense. He's, like I said, a very smart guy. And so I think he coaches hard and he expects a lot out of his guys. I think the adaptability part of it and being able to kind of shift things and make it work for his guys, I think is a strong suit.
Okay, let's be hopeful that the intel that we got is good and that maybe you see Lamar Miller catching a ball out of the backfield today, or you see them move Allen Robinson to the slot where he's pretty effective and they could get some looks for him that way. This will be Bill Lazor's show today. The Lazor show. Pew, pew, pew. Pew, 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 pew. Tonight. We'll see, because that Vikings defense is really, really bad. So how would you describe your feelings about tonight's game? 312-644-6767 is the number. South Loop and Joe. Joe, you're on the score.
Hey, thanks for taking the call. I'm fairly confident. I'm not scared of Kirk Cousins. I think it's a question of how well the defense contains Dalvin Cook. I don't think they're going to entirely stop him. But if they can keep him to a reasonably low number of yards, say like around 100 or a little less, it all depends on what Lazor can do with this mess we have for an offense. If we can get 17 or more points, I think we have a very good chance to win, because I don't see Minnesota strong enough to put more than 20 points on this defense.
I appreciate the phone call. So that number that you brought up, 17, that's an interesting number. Because in the last three games that the Bears have lost, they've averaged 16 points a game. On the season, they averaged 20, which is third worst in the league. But 16 a game in the last three. I don't think that 17's enough. Here's how I feel. I don't want that to be the margin that the Bears defense is playing with. Even if, can you get to your season average? Can you get to 20? If they got to 20, I'd feel better about them winning the game. Just get to your season average and don't turn the ball over. Don't give that guy any short fields, none of that stuff. This texter says, when was the last time a team switched coordinators midseason and found success? They're not switching coordinators, they're switching play callers. Bill Lazor has been the offensive coordinator all season long. They're going to see if a different pair of eyes on game day might make a difference. Norwich and Mark. Hey, Mark, you're on the score.
Hey, Lawrence, how you doing?
I'm good. How would you describe your feelings on tonight's game?
Well, I feel the same way. I mean, this is do or die. I mean, I'm at the point, I'm quicker to just say if the season goes bad, then let's let it go bad. I mean, if it has to be, because this has just been pretty much garbage for the last couple seasons with this offense.
Yeah, Mark, I agree that it has not been inspiring in the least what we've seen from this offense to start things off. And you can send in a text too. It's the same number that you called, 312-644-6767. My whole thing is that if you're in a position to still fight for a playoff spot, then you do it. So if you're sitting there at 5-4, a win tonight gives you a much better chance. You pretty much eliminate the Vikings from the conversation, and you're 1-1 in division games with four division games left to go. It gives you something to look forward to while the Bears are on the bye before they have their Sunday night matchup against Green Bay. But if you lose it, I don't imagine they will give up, because they will say we have six games to play, and if we win all six of those games, look at our record, even though that will feel and sound very unrealistic. What's the scouting report on the Vikings? Is there anything to be afraid of other than Dalvin Cook? I'm going to find out the answers to those questions and more when we talk with our buddy Matthew Collar. He joins me next here on The Score.
Danny Parkins, afternoons 2 to 6 on The Score.
When do the Bears get their Tua? When do the Bears get their Kyler Murray? When do the Bears get their Joe Burrow? Forget Lamar Jackson or Pat Mahomes or Deshaun Watson. Can they just have representative, modern NFL offense? All we get is dysfunction and wasted seasons.
Listen to Danny Parkins on your ride home 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. A radio.com sports station.
This is Andrew Bogish with a Radio.com Sports Minute. Believe me, among the last things I want to do is be nice to Rick Pitino, but the Iona men's basketball coach was right over the weekend when he said college basketball should start in January, not next Wednesday. Pitino's plan eliminates non-conference games and would end with May Madness instead of March. Pitino's Gale is one of the many programs shut down right now because of COVID-19. Waiting would let the country and athletic departments get better handles on the situation. Spare me. This isn't negativity. This is reality. And sometimes reality sucks. And right now, reality sucks. I want college basketball to start, but more